Every day there is a forgetting, and every moment there is the possibility of remembering. Remembering who you truly are, awakening to your body, to the inner world and experience of being alive. Here is where you find the beauty, the joy. Here is where you free your soma.
Hello and welcome to Free Your Soma, Stories of Somatic Awakening and How to Live from the Inside Out. I have a wonderful guest with me today, Anna Robles. She is a business coach and an NLP trainer. She works with business owners or any person in leadership. She brings them clarity, systems, strategy, and a clear, concise path to get where they are going. She's been practicing NLP since 2018. And when I asked her, you know, what did NLP do for you? How did NLP change your life? She answered that it helped her experience having a belief in herself that she can do anything, that anything is possible. And this is what she helps you to discover and experience in your daily life and in your business. And I got to say, like, that is so exciting. That's it. So wonderful, because really the possibilities at every single moment are available to us. It's about whether or not we're able to really be aware of that and witness that anything is possible in our lives, in our bodies, right? So I love that message. I think it's really powerful and it speaks to me personally. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here today, Anna.
Amy, thank you so much for having me here. I am blessed to be in your presence. Thank you. I always love being around you.
Awesome. Yes, same, same. So we actually, you know, we got to experience each other's work a little bit earlier this year, which was really, really wonderful. And we had an event together, because I think that somatic movement and NLP, and I'm not the only person out there who thinks this, they actually go pretty hand in hand, because they're really similar, but, you know, slightly different pathways to get to the same kind of experience of liberation in our being. Would you share a little bit about how you got started in this?
Absolutely. So the reality is that my story goes back to when I was in high school, and I wanted to be a psychologist. I remember being part of the peer counseling group and helping my fellow peers, and I fell in love with psychology. At the same time, I was in love with numbers. And when I graduated high school, I was still torn. Do I go psychology? Do I go business? And somehow my path led to business. So I went to school, I worked for a company for 15 years, and I remember very specific, and I didn't know anything about personal or self-development at that time. I just realized that my thoughts were coming to fruition, and I didn't know this. This is before The Secret even came out or anything like that. So I remember specifically, and I remember the moment, and I started thinking, what else do I want? What do I want in my life? This, I don't want to just be an employee. And then the next thing that happened, my boss says, hey, I retire. I cannot, you know, we can no longer afford your salary. I was like, oh, okay, what am I going to do? So it was a time for me to start to like, start digging deep inside of me. And that's when I was introduced to self-development. So I started reading books, attending seminars, and then I went back to corporate America, found another job, which I loved. And I worked there for another 15 years. And I had my own department. So I was leading a group of employees. I was in charge of, you know, different aspects of my department. I created shipping, receiving, customer service. It was basically running my own business. Again, thoughts started coming back. Those thoughts started to come back. It's like, what do you want to do with your life? This, you know, what else can you do? And by this time, I was aware of how our thoughts, you know, kind of shape our future, what we think we create. I just didn't know how deep that was. And during that time when I started thinking that, because whatever we think we create, our mind is going to support our thoughts. So somehow I ended up in a different part of the company. I ended up in a toxic environment. And it's like, no, I need to get out of here. This is not helping me. So what am I going to do? So I left, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I came across NLP by accident, complete accident. I thought I was going to go there and learn about networking, because all of my life I've been someone else's employee. So I didn't have to promote myself. I didn't have to do any of that. And now I was going to start a business. So I needed to learn about networking. So I show up to this event and I'm listening to the speaker and she's talking and talking. And I'm like, that's me. That's me. I want more of that. So I signed up for one of her events. And at one of her events, she's talking about NLP. I'm like, oh, I want that. And I started taking the NLP classes and I started to see I was changing. I still didn't know where I was going. I just knew that I was changing. There was a difference in my belief. Things were being brought up to from my unconscious to my conscious mind. And I was dealing with those things and it was shifting me. So that's where NLP really started, that seed. And then when I go back, I was like, oh my gosh, I planted that seed back in high school that I wanted to do something with psychology. And reality is NLP is derived from psychology. So I'm doing what I always wanted to do 30 some years later. And I'm helping people with their mindset using tools that are based on psychology.
Yes. Yes. That's awesome. You know, I love it when we can kind of retrospectively look back and go, oh, this was going on the whole time. Like, I just, you know, we ran into each other last night. I was on a podcast. You were also on, we kind of like ran into each other. Really cute. I love it. Like, and now we're on a podcast together today. Yeah. But like, I told them last night, I was like, they asked me this question of, you know, when did I decide to become an entrepreneur? And you know, I had kind of been thinking like, oh, this business I've started has just been like a year. But then when I really thought about it, I was like, oh no, this started when I quit my corporate job when I was 23 working for a company, right? And I started teaching yoga. I became an entrepreneur then, you know, but we don't always see it in the moment. It takes a minute to like kind of look back over the timeline and go, oh, actually all of this began a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. Right. And we can kind of keep going down that rabbit hole, you know, and what's been really amazing about learning about NLP, because I mean, I'd heard about it like over the last decade or so, but it was sort of this, like, I don't know, it seemed like a technology that people like Tony Robbins or like certain famous people use, you know, but it didn't really seem like something that was just easily accessible to someone like me. Right. Like, maybe that was just my lifestyle, but I feel like in the last few years, I've been learning about it more and more. And when I met you and I heard that you work the way that you work, what you work with mindset and with helping people create more possibility and feel how amazing they like already are, I was like, oh, wow. Like, this is so beautiful. Cause I can see how this is like kind of similar to the work that I do with somatics, but you're working on like a different layer of like our consciousness to like get at the same thing. And so I was really thrilled when you reached out to me and, you know, we started creating kind of a collaboration together, because I think that there's something really powerful about like hitting it from all angles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I also love that in your story, you were already like someone who had experienced a fair amount of success, but you experienced it kind of like through the vehicle of someone else's business or from someone else's approval, right? Like getting that promotion or that raise, like getting paid by someone else to perform duties and run things, right? And create things. But like, what a beautiful thing that it, you know, that discovering NLP and deciding to be your own business, you know, for the first time in your life, it seems like those things kind of happen together. Right?
They did. And I wholeheartedly believe that nothing in life happens out of coincidence. Everything that we do is a choice. And we already have this path, this journey, and it's up to us to choose which way we're going to go. And at the same time, whether we go left or right, we always somehow end up in the same spot that we were meant to. Just the lessons that we take. So I know that I always wanted to be my own. I wanted to be in business. I remember hearing my parents talk about, we're going to go back, because we came from Mexico when I was little. I would hear them say, we're going to go back and we're going to open up a business. So in my mind, that was already like being instilled in me. That was like that little seed that was dropped. I just didn't know how and when that was going to happen. But the seed was already there.
Right. And then there's a certain level of sophistication that you've created now because you're blending, like you said, psychology with business, that they're not like two separate subjects that are not connected to one another, right? Like they're totally connected to each other. And I think this is a really like innovative and exciting way to talk about these things, because I think it helps people understand like, why is it that my business is not succeeding? Why is it that I'm running up against the same blocks and the same like problems over and over again? Oh, well, if we, you know, just look at it from a business strategy standpoint, we might be missing like this whole piece, which is like, you're a human and you have a life history and you have beliefs and thoughts and feelings that are constantly influencing your behavior, your decisions, right? Can you talk a little bit about that, about how these things, these experiences in our lives, like influence our choices and behavior?
Absolutely. So when we are born, when we are born into this world, we come as a clean slate. We are fearless. We could do anything we want. And it's as we're growing, we start adopting the beliefs of people around us, the significant people in our lives. We start adopting those things, or we start adopting the things that are going into our in our environment. And unconsciously, that's becoming some kind of program that is running in the back of our mind all the time, because what it's doing is protecting us. It's keeping us safe. So what it does is like, no, don't do that, because this could happen to you. So unconsciously, we may not go door knocking, you know, if we need to, because, oh no, what if they open the door, and what if they're rude to me? What about this? What about that? Or we don't pick up the phone call. Well, they're going to say no, so why bother calling them? So we have that in the back of our mind, all these beliefs that are there that were created at some point. And because they happen at such an early age or state in our life, we don't recall them. They're there. So with what I do, and I know with what you do, is we bring up awareness and then we bring them out, and then we work through them. We take what we need to learn, what surfaced and what doesn't, and we get to reprogram that picture, because everything that we do is a picture that is stored in our mind. Mm-hmm. And that picture has an emotion attached to it. So our unconscious mind is going to say, nope, here's this picture that proves that that's not going to work. So don't do it, because that's not going to help you get to where you want to go. Or no, that's too dangerous. It's always looking for the dangers to protect us. And it's when we actually push through it and we get to the other side, we're like, oh my gosh, I just did it. It's almost like we're on this race and you just ran like a mile and you did it in your best time, and you push through and you're like, oh my gosh, I just did it. That's the same thing that happens when we push through our beliefs.
Right. And then that getting to the other side piece, that, you know, that's, I think, what everybody wants eventually, right? Like, want to get to the other side, but there's a process of going through it, as you said, and it doesn't just happen instantly. It happens in a moment when it happens that we're on the other side of that experience. But like when I, you know, what I got to experience with you, and was specifically timeline therapy, which was really interesting because I had my eyes closed, but you were having me orient myself to my past and my future in my mind's eye, like where it was in directions, you know, and orienting me into like kind of a creating a map internally of where I felt like my past and my present and my future were, which I thought was super fascinating because I'd never done anything like that before. But taking me through these, you know, timelines of different emotions, like when was the first time that I experienced this feeling? And it was fascinating because what I found was that there wasn't just like, sometimes there was like a specific moment that like came up, but a lot of times it was like, all of a sudden this catalog, like my whole life just got opened up and I'm like flipping pages, looking through every moment that I have felt these things, right? To try to find when was the first time, right? And it was quite amazing because like, I feel like that was really direct, versus there are other methods and other ways that I feel like people are sometimes trying to accomplish the same thing that take a lot more time. But this felt like it was very direct. And I think the biggest thing that would have gotten in the way, and maybe you can say like what gets in the way of people like being able to be successful with NLP, right? But the thing that, you know, would get in the way would be like my, like not allowing my mind to just go where it needed to go, like having some sense of trying to control my thoughts or control the experience I was having. I think that was like, for me, the thing that would mostly get in the way of that experience. But maybe you can tell our listeners, you know, if people have heard about NLP, who is like someone who gets the most out of NLP and who is someone who might have difficulty like getting the most out of this technique?
So first of all, anytime that we want to better ourselves, we have a choice. And the work that you do in any type of modality, somatics, yoga, meditation, Reiki, there, what we have to do is learn to let go. Mm-hmm. So whether you're a successful business owner, whether you're a teacher, whether you are a housewife, a student, this could work for you. The thing that we all get to choose to is, am I willing to let go and allow my unconscious mind to come up and show me the lessons for me to learn and move forward and take those lessons now that my unconscious mind knows and reprogram my life with those positive lessons? Because we're looking for the positive learnings. We're looking for what is going to make us stronger. And I do find people that are resistant, and their resistance is, at the end of the day, it's about trusting. Mm-hmm. Do you trust yourself enough to want to know the answer?
Yeah. Cause sometimes we don't want to know the answer. We think we do. And then we get close to it and we're like, oh, I'd rather just maintain some level of obliviousness. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's that resistance that we put on ourselves. Like, no, I don't want to go. It's like when we go swimming, the first thing they teach you to do is to float. And what do we have to do in order to float? We have to let go of control. We have to relax. So our body is weightless, because once we are controlling ourselves, what do? We put resistance, we become heavy. And when you become heavy, what are you going to do? You're going to end up at the bottom of the pool.
Right. Yeah. I love that analogy. That's really perfect, because yeah, that's the way to save your life when, you know, you become exhausted in the water, is to like roll onto your back and float. Right. Cause otherwise, mm-hmm. you're doggy paddling or whatever it is, swimming the whole time, your body's going to get exhausted. And so surrendering, letting go, it makes me think of like how, you know, some people I've heard like complain about how we spend like a third of our lives asleep, you know, like why do we have to sleep so much, you know? And it's like, oh, but like, isn't that really important? Isn't that like surrender time really beneficial? Like what happens when we don't sleep enough? Like it has an impact on our body and we don't regenerate our cells and like all these things. And so the surrendering that you're talking about, you know, mentally, especially if you have like a really active mind, being able to surrender and allow your unconscious mind to take over. Right. And then you can start to see like how it actually is running the show most of the time. Would you say a little bit about that? Would you talk a little bit about our unconscious mind?
Well, you know, our unconscious mind actually has a blueprint of our body. It has a blueprint of our mind. It has a blueprint of everything. Because right now, who is the one that's controlling your breathing? Who's the one that's controlling the blood flowing through your body? Who's controlling you speaking or moving? It's your unconscious mind. Because if I were to do it consciously, I wouldn't be able to say lungs breathe, speak, you know, blood flow. I would go crazy. I wouldn't be able to have a conversation with you, because I'd be thinking, I have to, in order for me to be talking and be in front of Amy and in front of her audience, I have to make sure I'm breathing and and my blood is flowing. That's all happening on such an unconscious level. Our unconscious mind has a blueprint of everything in our body, our cells, how we think. It stores everything that happens in our life. It creates a picture and stores it. Don't believe me? ask yourself to think of a blue tree. What do you have to do? You have to pull up the color blue first. Then you have to pull, now then you could pull a picture of a tree, and now you're like, okay, now make the tree blue. Everything is stored in it as an image. So right. Everything in our unconscious mind is already there. We just don't give it permission. Our conscious mind says, no, no, I got everything. I'm in control. I'm doing this. It's really your unconscious mind just kind of sitting back there like, you think so? Okay, I got it. I'll just let you pretend you could do it. When you need me, I'll be right here.
Yeah.
And what it does, it's like, oh, it's protecting you because it only knows what you allow it to know. And then it starts to protect you.
Yeah. You know, that what you just said about the blue tree, it made me realize like, we think we have to do things intentionally. And we think that like, you know, we're somehow in charge of what we're experiencing. Right. But most of the time, you know, you didn't even have to tell me to think about a blue tree. You could just start describing a blue tree and it would appear in my mind without any specific command. You know, like our environment and the things that are influencing us and creating those unconscious beliefs, they're happening like around us, like real time. You know what I mean? And probably for the most part, like kind of what you said before, the beliefs are already there, like from our early childhood experiences, right? And this is where the psychology piece comes in a little deeper. It's like most of the time, those big core beliefs about who we are and what we're capable of started a long, long time ago. And then every other experience that's happening is just reinforcing that programming, reinforcing that belief, because we're unconsciously allowing that to continue. And that's where you're stepping in with NLP and you're saying, actually, we can reprogram that. We can take, as you said before, the learnings, the things that were learned from that experience that are part of you already, that are part of your power and your resiliency, we can take that and let that be the guiding force rather than the fear.
Absolutely. Completely. And we get to get curious. And what is one of the things that I do with my clients is I don't just use timeline therapy. I use many different techniques. And so I want to get to the bottom of what it is that's holding them back. How specifically? And it could be one thing. It could be many different things. I don't know. Every person is very unique. And where did, and I want to go back to where that belief came and then what the root of that belief came. Because there's a root. I said, there's a root for the beliefs that we have. Which one is the one that's more predominantly? So we want to erase that one and empower you. And then, you know, of course, we're always going to have different things happening in life. So now that you know which one is a major one and you've overcome it, the other ones just become very insignificant. And it could be like, I don't feel love. I'm unworthy. I feel powerless. Those are usually the big ones.
Yes. I'm kind of imagining right now, like this, and this is very similar. I mean, somatics and like, especially, you know, HANA somatics, which is the modality that I teach, a lot of it was based, you know, partially on psychology as well, but also on philosophy and different kinds of philosophies about being human and about living our lives. Right. And, you know, somatic philosophy or psychology, like specifically is drawing from this idea that like the unconscious mind, as you put it, is like our physical body, right? And it is this like wonderful thing to not have to think about breathing, to not have to think about, you know, what you're doing. And in fact, like if we can move more and more into like a somatic way of living, it doesn't involve a lot of thinking. It involves a like full kind of full body experience of life that's not just in our heads, but that's like really experiential. You know, and that we're like able to respond to life in a kind of intuitive and natural way where we're not trying, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. And I Absolutely. Kind of feel, I feel like this is really similar to what you're talking about when you talk about like you're reprogramming these patterns and then people are more integrated in their way of approaching things, right? Mm-hmm. And then they can just be in their life or in their business and things start occurring. Like you were describing, like the beliefs that you have now are in alignment with like where you want to go. they're not blocking you anymore. And so then life is going to flow. Is that kind of what you mean? Like,
absolutely. So if I may share a story, and it took me I'm in my 50s now. So it took me more than 50 years to figure this out, or around there. I always would walk into the room, to any room. This is before NLP. I would walk into I'm a social person. I'm an introvert, extrovert, extrovert, introvert. I feed off of the energy of people. That's always been me. Yet there was always this piece where I would walk in a room and I would sort of become a little bit of a wallflower and just kind of like stay there. Or if I was in a group, I would never like really be the one pitching in a lot of the conversation. I just kind of stand there. And I was like, where is this coming from? Like, what is it? And through some of the NLP work, I realized where that started. And I mean, now I know exactly when, I don't know exactly the day or anything, but I know when it started. And now I know the lessons of that situation. And when it started was, my mom used to visit this, when we lived in Mexico, she used to visit this elderly woman. And well, I was only like four, like three or four or five. I don't remember how old I was, very young. So I was, my brother was, it was before my sister was born. So I was about 3 or 4 years old. And to me, they seem very elderly. So they could have been like in their 50s, but they looked to me like 60 and 80. So every Tuesday she would go visit because she was a seamstress. And she would say, we're going over to Rebecca's house. I need you guys to sit still and be very quiet. And part of the reason is Rebecca's mom was probably 80 or 70 years old, older. And she was just not patient with kids. So we were told, we're coming, we're going to go over here. I have to go. Please sit there and stay quiet. So that's what we would do for like an hour or so every Tuesday. Don't talk, just sit still and be very quiet. So that became a program. It became a belief, so that anytime that I was in a group, I would just kind of stand back, because it was that belief that was instilled in me when I was a little girl to just sit there and be quiet.
Right. And I'm thinking, like, on a muscular level, there's a muscular pattern to sitting still and being quiet. You might be like preventing yourself from speaking by keeping your jaw a little bit tighter. You might be like placing your arms somewhere on your body to kind of prevent movement from happening. And that can be tough for like a 3 to 4 year old child to do, to inhibit all that natural energy that you had, you know?
Absolutely. So see how we bring it back to both your modality and my modality. Of how it, yes. And as you were saying, like, I could imagine your jaw. I was like, oh my, I was getting tight. I was actually feeling that tension in my body. And I was like, she's absolutely right. I didn't think about that. I was only thinking about the programming that was happening.
Right. Yeah. Well, and because the programming's happening on every level simultaneously, but we can only experience sometimes one or two levels at once. Because our nervous system, our awareness, our consciousness, like you said, we can't sit here and like be, you know, focusing and consciously breathing and flowing our blood and beating our heart and digesting our food and having this conversation and holding ourselves upright in a chair. Like we can't possibly do all of that consciously at once, but our system does it for us, right? Whether you want to call that like your, you know, your unconscious mind, maybe even your, like your spirit, right? Your nervous system, whatever language you want to use to describe it. Like there's something in us that's running all of these things simultaneously, but we can only be aware of like one or two things at once. Right. And so, I mean, when we are, say for this example of you being like 3 or 4 years old and inhibiting like all of this movement and expression, right? In a way, it's like, wow, what an achievement. What a good little girl you were. But in another way, it's like, do we want to keep that program running forever? You know, or did it serve its purpose? And there was something to learn there, which is you can be attentive and quiet and polite, right? Those are the learnings, for so to speak. There may be others. I'm sure you know the others that came up for you. But then like, you know, now you don't have to stay that 3 to 4 year old who's inhibiting all of that and exerting effort to inhibit all of that.
Mm-hmm. So learning that was what was holding me back, and then being able to go to that little girl and see what I needed to learn and then reapply that to my lesson, to the rest of my life, has made such an impact. And now I could talk about it, and it's, you know, and I share that story because I want people to know, give them an example. If you have something, we can overcome it. All we have to, it's not about overcoming it. It's just reprogramming it with something that's going to serve us. So now that little girl goes back and says, I could speak up, I could be polite, and I could be friendly, and I could, you know, listen to what you have to do and yet share what I want to share with you, or respond back to you, you know, listen to understand you. I get to do that now.
Yes, that's really beautiful. That really does open a lot of doors, a lot of possibility in every moment to be able to have that like openness and receptivity. Because here's the thing that I have been learning about recently. When we are exerting effort to inhibit natural behaviors, naturalness in ourselves, right? Like a 3 or 4 year old is supposed to be like moving around probably and making funny noises and jumping, you know, like for the most part, that's what they would do if they didn't have anyone telling them otherwise, you know, or in the same way as like, you know, if you really like, you're sitting in a meeting and you have all these things that you want to say, but like you're waiting to speak. You have to like exert some effort to not only like remember what it is that you want to say, but also to stop yourself from interrupting the person. You know what I mean? So when we have to do this, like holding back of ourselves, it's actually a doing, it's actually effortful, right? And if we can, like you said, reprogram and in, you know, in my work, like decontract the muscles that are holding, that are part of that inhibitory thing, are part of inhibiting our movement or inhibiting our expression, when we can release that and integrate it back into our bodies, then we have more energy freed up to do whatever it is we want to do. We have more energy for listening, for speaking, for receiving, for understanding when we're not already busy doing something else, unconsciously busy doing something else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when we, it's, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. When we release control, then everything, you know, we could float. We could open up to receiving more and giving more.
Yes, yes. And giving, because giving and receiving, they're really just two sides of the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. This is wonderful. So tell us a little bit about, you know, you work with people one-on-one, and then you also do group work as well. And you teach people how to go through NLP processes, right? So you have started like training people in NLP. Can you say a little bit about how does that kind of take it to another level for people?
So I love what I do with NLP. So for me, it's most people come, you know, everybody comes for different reasons. And some people come like, I just want my business to get better. I just want to have more success. I want to have more sales, or I want to have more XYZ in my life. So when they come into my class, is they are going to go through the material. I'm going to teach you the material. As I'm teaching you the material, you're always, all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh, that resonates with me. And somehow your unconscious mind becomes aware and you start to take the lessons and reapplying them. So as you're learning NLP to become a practitioner, because once you go through my class, you could practice NLP and you could practice it in a way where you could help others. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening, we end up practicing in ourselves first. And when we start to see that, it's like, oh, I feel so much better. I feel so much lighter. We start to see the world slightly different. It's almost like taking this Band-Aid, like glasses off, and now we see more clear. Because it's NLP is about the linguistics, the words that created the programs, and those programs are that have attached themselves to our body neurologically. So when we can reprogram our neurons through our linguistics is when we find the freedom, mm-hmm. when we find the core of who we are meant to be or who we are. And it could be, it could just be having better relationships, and it could, it's different for many different people. And at the end of the day, everything is intertwined. Business and life are always somehow together intertwined. So people sometimes show up for business and others show up for their personal life, and they'll see like, my personal life is going great. Now all of a sudden my business is going great, or my business is going fantastic. And oh, my relationship with my kids, my relationship with my husband or my wife, it's getting so much better.
Right. That's, it makes me think of like when we develop health and balance in one area, it will automatically impact all the other areas of our life. Kind of this way that these things are not separate from each other. Psychology is not like separate from business any more than our legs are separate from our arms. You know, they're all connected to each other. I love that. You know, you also talk a lot about communication. And I know there's a big communication piece that you bring in, which is a really, really necessary thing for business, you know. And I think one of the first conversations that we had, you were talking about how people don't realize that they're speaking different languages to each other. And that's something that you help people like develop, is an ability to hear the way in which another person is speaking to you, and like how you can speak their language instead of speaking your language and they're speaking their language and there's no communication happening. Can you talk a little bit about like this kind of concept of like, you know, we're both speaking English, but maybe we're having different communication, a different style of communication, and how that can get in the way of getting things done?
Absolutely. So one of the biggest parts, biggest part in NLP is communication. It's the linguistics. And there's different modalities that we learned in NLP about communication. Biggest thing that we all should take in any kind of communication is, are we listening to respond or are we listening to understand? Mm-hmm. And when we're listening to respond, we're already like, oh, this is what I have to respond back to them. Not really hearing the whole story or listening to the message behind the message. And when you sit there and you listen and to understand, then you understand what the message is. Because a lot of the words that we choose, they're going to tell us how we actually think and we are, how our programming is. So the words we choose could tell me whether you live in a world of possibilities or you live in a world of impossibility. So I teach that in NLP. There's another component that I also teach in communication through NLP, and is how you and I are having a conversation in English right now. And our audience is this English speaking, I hope. And they're listening to us. However, they could be only hearing a part of what we're saying, because a part of it is what resonates with them. They might be able to see, oh, I see what she means. That sounds really good. Oh, I really like how she's making me feel. You know, I understand now what she's saying. So each of us have all four components within us. Just one of them is more predominantly. And so we tend to speak in the one that's more predominantly. And it really comes down to listening to what predicates people are using, so that then we could see what they're trying to tell us. And then we could now respond back to them, and they know that we understood what they said. Mm. And one way I like to share a story, and actually it happened to me my very first time that I was in Europe. On our, it was a Sunday morning. We decided, we were in Paris, and we decided to go to a cafe and, you know, order a coffee. And none of us spoke French. We tried. So remember, we sat down outside the little cafe, and the waiter comes, super nice person. And I decided to make an attempt to order coffee. So what I said, trois tazas de café, per favore. And he's just looking at me like, what? And I say it again, and I thought maybe I'm just completely mispronouncing my sentence. And I said it again, trois tazas de café, per favore. And he still has that look on the deer likes, you know? And then he finally said, tres tazas de café. And I was like, sí. And then my niece and my brother started busting up afterwards. You know, I was so grateful for the waiter that he decided to speak to me in Spanish and I was able to order the coffee. But they started laughing because they're like, did you hear yourself? No, I said three cups of coffee in French. They're like, no, you said three in French, Spanish, and Italian all in one sentence. And that's how we usually communicate. Oh, no. What I'm saying is that you and I could be having this conversation, but somebody else might not hear it. It may sound French to them. And for somebody else might not see what we're trying to say, and it may sound Italian to them.
Right. Like our interpretation or like what the, I'm thinking about it kind of like the lens that of our understanding of our perception. Of like what we're actually able to like relate to and literally understand, that differs from person to person. And it probably also differs like moment to moment for people too. Like there may be times where, like, you know, I know like with me, like if I get really tired and it's the end of the day and my husband's trying to communicate things to me, like it's like I don't follow him. Like I just like it's like he's speaking a different language. I'm just like, I don't really know how to respond to what you're saying right now. You know, because
it's very similar.
Yeah, because my brain is like not really registering it at that moment, you know. But catch me, you know, the next morning or, you know, midday or something when I'm like awake and energized, like I would hear something totally different.
Mm-hmm. And it's like somebody could be telling you something over and over in your life, or you're telling them and you're like, I've been telling them, but they're not understanding it. They're not getting it. They're not listening to what I'm saying. Oh my gosh, they don't see what I'm trying to tell them. And it's because their way of communicating is could be one and I'm speaking in the other. So what I teach is first, let's find out what's your predominant one. Have five questions that I ask my students. We go through the answers and they're like, oh, okay, now I'm there. I know that this is mine. This is my predominantly. So then I teach them to now be able to speak in the other language, in the other forms when they're having a conversation, because now you get to be intentional of, I want to communicate with you. Let me hear what you're saying so that I could now create an image and understand what you're saying. And then I'll be able to speak to you in how you are communicating with me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's accommodating. It's very accommodating to the other person. And it is, as you mentioned just a moment ago, it's driven from a place of actually desiring like good communication. And in order for, you know, if we really desire that, then we have to have a certain level of flexibility in ourselves because we can't make the other person understand us. but if we can offer some understanding and set kind of the tone, it's more than likely that maybe understanding will blossom in them and they will understand us, right? But if we're kind of expecting, kind of going back to this idea of like, you know, the change and the possibility is available to you within you. It's not available to me, you know, Jim, just simply because you're here in front of me teaching me some NLP skills, like I have to do something with it. It's inside of me. The change and the shift has to happen in my experience. And it's the same way with this communication, right? Like you're showing people a new way of being kind of flexible and accommodating so that they can achieve what it is they really say they want to achieve, which is good communication, right? I love that. I think that's so empowering to people because that's really the only thing that we can have, you know, so to speak, control over is what we're doing, not what the other people are doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
All I can do is control me. And at the same time as I'm controlling me, I also get to be flexible. I can make anybody else do anything they don't want to do. It's their choice. I just get to accept and be flexible with their choices.
Yes. You know, and what's so wonderful is I really, you know, when I'm with you, when I'm around you, I can feel this like incredible strength that you have, right? And this flexibility. And it's, you know, it's kind of like back to my yoga days, like that was like the ideal. That's what we wanted our bodies to do, was be strong and flexible, right? But this can also happen on every other level of our consciousness, that we can be strong mentally and flexible. It's not one or the other. We, you know, and sometimes if we're trying too hard to be strong, if we're again kind of putting in all that effort, it gets in the way, because the letting go has to be balanced with the strength, you know, kind of like the recovery from your workout, you know, has to be balanced with your workout. Otherwise, you know, it's, you may get injured, or you may kind of have setbacks, and it may take you longer to get where you're going.
Right. And it's just, it's the same thing that you also teach in your somatics. You help us, you know, release the tension with, you know, through the breathing exercises and the micro movements that you teach us. It's the same thing. When you help us release, we become free, and we become so much more flexible in our body movement, and we feel so much better and healthier. When we get to be flexible with the other person, we are free, and we allow them and we give them permission to be free.
Oh, yes. I love that. Yes. And I think about that with, you know, this concept of communication and understanding, like how incredibly frustrating it can be when it feels like we're speaking two different languages, when we don't feel understood, you know, and we can tend to like focus on our own experience, you know, but we don't realize like the other person may be having a similar experience of frustration at not being understood, right? So like, how can I create that? How can I create that understanding? And, you know, one of the things that I think is so important is asking questions versus giving more information. Sometimes like, you know, if the communication's not really flowing, like, can I ask a question to make sure that I understood what this person was saying? And I mean, this is going to things like active listening and all kinds of communication techniques, but I feel like there's something really important here, which is that the suspension of maybe I don't know, the suspension of my belief of like thinking I know what they're saying, thinking I know what they're doing or what they're experiencing, and instead asking a question that gives me more information and maybe corrects my misunderstanding, you know, clarifies what they really mean. And the person who's being asked gets this experience of asking themselves that question, because I'm asking it, you know, mm-hmm. and it can help them get more clear on what they think or what they feel. And this is such a huge piece of communication, is just clarifying, asking questions, repeating what you heard the person say. And it seems so basic, but we don't do this a lot of times. We're so wrapped up in our own experience that we forget to be curious about like what other people are actually experiencing and what they have to express.
That is absolutely true, Amy. That is the one of the biggest key one is first understanding how we're processing the information, because really it's, that's what I was explaining a few minutes ago, is you may see things here or get things in a different perspective. So understanding how I process the information is the first key. And then understanding how the other person processes that information and being able to speak back to them in the way they're processing. And if I don't understand, it's about asking questions. That's what really communication is about. How specifically, would you please clarify that for me? This is what I understood. If that's not correct, can you correct me if I'm wrong? It's giving them that feedback. And it all comes down to asking specific questions.
Can I ask a question? I mean, this is
absolutely
kind of like, this is me wanting to get a little bit of like, you know, like a coaching moment with you or whatnot, because I feel like I fall into this trap a lot with my clients, but also just in my life in general, where I will say something, I will explain something, and then I can see the other person processing it. And then I want to ask them a question to see how they're processing the information. And before I know it, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, does that make sense? And I realize that that's like not really, because like you're usually just going to like nod their head and go, uh-huh, because it's sort of like this leading question that leads them to making sense, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not as open-ended to actually uncover like what they think or feel or what they're experiencing, right? It's sort of almost like a yes or no question rather than like a question that would like, you know, invoke or invite some kind of personal expression from them. And I think it also like is kind of a weird question because it asks them to validate me, that I'm what I said makes sense. Do you see that?
I see exactly where you're going.
That makes sense.
It makes sense. It totally makes sense. And that is because we both tend to speak the same. You and I speak a lot in the same language. And so for us, things need to make sense. Yeah, from our client, it might not. So one of the very first things that I do with my clients, once they start working with me, if they're not in my NLP classes and they are just coaching with me, I want to know how they process information. So I will give them that test, the five questions, and then I will figure out what their strongest is. And I put that on their file. So every time that I speak to them, and we're working on something and I can see that like it landed on them and they're processing it. And I either I'm on Zoom and I can see it on their face or we are on the phone and I could just kind of hear it. I give them their moment and then I'll turn around and then I'll ask, well, how do you feel about that now? Care to explain? Oh, okay. How does it feel? Or it could be like, well, so how do you see yourself? Or it could be, how do you see yourself now? Or how does that sound now? I would love to hear what you just experienced. So depending on who they are, then I would ask that question. I would reframe it in that way.
Yeah, I can see that it's, asking a how question and asking a question that leaves it open-ended and invites them to really take a moment to feel in or sense in or notice what there is going on in their mind. It's definitely more effective than the first thing that flies out of my mouth, which is more about me than it is about them, but I've kind of caught myself doing that. And I've thought like, oh, there's a missed opportunity here on my end to gather more information, which I think is ultimately what I'm wanting to do at that moment. I've just given them like a download, like you said, and I can see they're processing it and I want to invite them to express or share, and of course, maybe there is like some little girl part of me who wants, to be understood or wants some kind of validation, but that's not primary to what is, going on with my client. That's something that's about me. that's something I can work on my own time.
Well, that's the good thing is that you have an awareness. And what I also find is that all of my clients bring a lesson into. So they come to me for something. There's no accident or anything. They come to me for something. And I also learn from them. Because sometimes they'll say something. I'm like, ooh, that just landed on me. And I have to put it away for a little bit, work with them, work them through it. And then when we get off the phone, I'm like, okay, now I have to process myself, right? Now I need to process this so that this was a lesson for me. So there's no coincidence. So this is something that's coming up for you because there's an awareness and of something that you get to now figure out where it started and how you can now change it. And the fact that you're open to change it tells you that you're ready to take that lesson and apply it to self.
Yes. Yes. And it feels like old stuff. It feels like stuff that I've been working through in layers, kind of like when you clean out the garage, and you start with just like the stuff that's in the front, or whatever. And then you kind of get deeper into things and you're like, oh, there's this old box of my CDs from high school, right? It's like you kind of get to the deeper layers. So it's something that I feel like I've been working with a long time. And there's now like, it's more clear each time that pattern is showing up in some way in my life. Like even just in that moment where I ask, does that make sense? And they're just like nodding their head and I'm going, oh, there's something that I'm missing out on here. it's part of that excavation work. It's part of that work that's been going on to reframe and reorganize my unconscious mind, the things that I'm unconsciously doing.
So was there ever a time in your life where you felt like you needed to, here I am, look at me?
Oh, I'm sure, you know, and like I had a very extensive vocabulary as a little girl, like extraordinary with words. My son is that way too. So it may be hereditary and things like that, but I think it's also that both of my parents like really enjoy words. Like I think one of the gifts that my dad got for, you know, my mother when they got married was like a big dictionary or something. Like they're like they're word nerds, you know? And so when I was a kid, I would say these things and I didn't really know what they meant. I was sort of just regurgitating words and I would get it right sometimes, you know? And then there were other times where I really wasn't sure if I got it right. Right. And that sense of like doubt of am I understood? Did what I say make sense? That's the first thing that comes to mind, right? Is like that little girl who like not sure if what she said made sense or if she was just, you know, saying something that she heard once and it doesn't make sense.
So I think what you're looking for is like when you see your client process, that little doubt shows up and it's like, did I just do the right thing?
Yes.
So for you, it shows up. Does that make sense? Because you're like, was that the right thing? It didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the truth is that I, of course I want to know like what they're experiencing from what I said, but on like a deeper level, it's like, even if what I said wasn't the perfect thing, right? Like by some measure of the moment, like that's actually okay because they're getting from it what they're getting from it, not from, I can't, you know, make what I intended them to experience happen, right? If I wanted them to feel comforted, they may or may not have the capacity to feel comforted at that moment. That's not up to me, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, so just kind of like surrendering and letting them have whatever experience they're having without needing to like have what I said be the right thing.
So see, that's your lesson now. That you get to help them move to the other side and in whatever capacity that they could process, and you did it right. It doesn't, you know, there's no right or wrong. At the end of the day, is did you get the result that you were looking for?
Right, right. Yeah, and I mean, that is important to me. I think that's important to all of us as coaches, as guides, as people who are here to help others. Like, you know, and it's not just about the result for like our fame and glory as coaches or facilitators or whatever. It's like, how can I truly help this person with what's important to them, with where they want to go? So that they can really fly, you know, so that they can really go for everything that they want to go for. And, you know, I think it's so wonderful that your business is called Yo Soy Amazing, because we are, we're amazing. We may not be present to it. We may not be allowing that amazingness to flow in our lives, right? To be felt and experienced by us and by the world.
It's about giving ourselves grace. Because sometimes we are looking for perfection, and perfection doesn't exist. Excellence does. And giving ourselves the grace that, hey, I'm human. I am still evolving. I'm giving you the best of me. And if I help you in whichever capacity get to the other side, then I did the best, and I did it the best that I could to help you, then we both get to grow. And giving ourselves that grace that at that moment, it's like, yes, we want to know, because we're human beings at the end of the day. We want to know. And is it validation? Is it, or maybe mastering our craft by getting that feedback from the client, like, because we want to know, did that make sense? Did that work for you? Because it's not necessarily validation as well. It's also, is what I'm doing something that I could continue to duplicate, because it may not work for everyone. What do I get to learn from you, and how can I use it, you know, in a different person, you know, different person?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, like, finding out if what I did was effective is certainly something that I think is important to do in my business, but that can be like in a feedback form or something, right? That can be like post, you know, session kind of getting, you know, getting that information. I think I love this. I think that I'm going to start reframing this for myself in those moments and thinking about what question would invite more expression from my clients. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love
it. You have a gift. You have the gift of meditating, the gift of being open. And at that moment, it's one of the things that I sometimes do, and I'm not good at meditating. Yes, I'm saying it. I'm not good at it. It's something that I need to practice and get better at it. I allow some, you know, when I ground myself and I just like, hey, God, spirit, universe, just guide me. Put the words in my heart and in my soul that are going to help this person.
Yeah, that's another form of surrender. That's another form of like floating and letting the water carry you.
Yeah. So yeah. Sometimes I'll just do that and then I just let it come out and, oh, okay.
Yeah. And so beautiful that, you know, you have that ability to let go. And I think that's what I'm working with people on a physical, you know, muscular level, is like, how can we let go of the tension that we're holding, of the physical patterns that we're carrying that are in the way of moving easily, or, you know, feeling as good as we possibly can in our bodies. But there's an openness that you're helping people to create in their mental and emotional state, in the way that they're experiencing their reality, where they're learning to let go and allow their unconscious mind to kind of allow their unconscious mind to run the show from a place that's derived of learning, of experience, of love, versus just trying to protect me from something bad happening again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I love what you do, and not many people are familiar with what you do. Just giving us that, those movements, that freedom to just allow our body to do what it's supposed to be. I mean, I loved our sessions because afterwards I felt like all the tension goes away. And then I'll go back and watch one of the videos that you sent. I'm like, okay, let me do this because I've been feeling it here. I'm feeling it there. I think what we both do and what you do by teaching us that breath work and those movements really help our body heal. And when we're healed, we're empowered. And then when we are in that empowerment, we can actually make changes in our life that impact others. And it could be just our family, but those changes, they get to see it and they get to take it out into community. And then we have a bigger impact in this world.
Yes, absolutely. That's, you know, that's why I have named my 6-month program Radiance, because when we are, and we kind of talked about this before, when you heal one aspect of yourself, right, one area of your life, it starts blending and moving into all other areas, because our body, our consciousness, our spirit, it wants to grow. It wants to flourish. It wants to thrive. Right? It wants to heal. That's what our bodies are made to do, is regenerate and heal. It's about putting ourselves in a space where that is allowed to occur, right? Where we're mm-hmm. we're giving ourselves that time and space to allow these changes that naturally want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's been such a pleasure. Would you please tell our listeners where they can connect with you if they want to work with you? Do you just work in person or do you work over Zoom as well?
I work on Zoom and when I coach my clients, and I also work on the phone for coaching. For my NLP classes, I am currently doing them live. I am actually going to be probably going hybrid or doing Zoom NLP in 2024. And just because I want to help more people. Where can you find me? On my Instagram under Yo Soy Amazing, and it's YO_SOY_amazing, or my website, Yo Soy Amazing, and connect with me there.
Awesome. Yes, I highly recommend Anna. She's a powerful teacher, and she's so good at holding space and being compassionate to whatever it is that you're experiencing while holding you in just such a strong embrace. So I've loved working with you. I look forward to collaborating with you. So if anybody's interested in learning NLP or having a session, check her out. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, yeah. Amy.
Thank you so much for being on here today and sharing your wisdom and some of your techniques.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I just love being around you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Every time we see each other, there's this, I could just feel how you have this calmness and peacefulness around you. And I love that energy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a journey. It's been cultivated, and now it feels really natural, which I'm so pleased to say.
Nice.
Wonderful. Okay. We'll catch up with you again soon. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Bye.